Well, thank you, Brian, and good morning, everyone. Particularly warm welcome to our respected friends. I'm going to make the offer from the outset that should you want a copy of these slides afterwards, you'd be more than welcome to have a copy. If I go a bit too quickly or you'd like to revisit, you're more than welcome to have a copy. So, Bible prophecy, evidence for God's word. We're really trying to understand here the thrust of the matter that God exists and that prophecy is given by him to encourage us. And what I propose to do, God willing, in the next 25 minutes or so, is really seven things in four different groups. And the first group are these three things. Really understand incredibly simply what is prophecy from a biblical point of view. How does it work? And how can it be tested? With that in mind, we're then going to have a look at three case studies, very briefly. We're going to look at the nation of Israel, and we're not going to turn any passages up. I'm just going to give them to you, and you can have a look at them later. We are going to spend a little bit of time looking at the story of Tyre from Ezekiel 26, and then we're going to look at the Lord Jesus, some of the prophecies concerning Jesus. We are Christadelphians. We believe in Jesus Christ our Lord. We're going to look at him. And then we're going to say, well, that's the past. What about the future? And that's going to be our third section. And then it's going to be rounded off with, well, what are the conclusions? And really, what are you going to do about it? There's going to be a call to action. So the first section in yellow, what is prophecy? How does it work? And how can it be tested? So, Amos chapter 3 tells us that God reveals the future to his servants, the prophets. God tells people, these people called prophets, he says, before I do anything, I'm going to tell you about it. That's what Amos chapter 3 says. Well, how do these people know what to say? The New Testament gives us that answer, and it says, well, holy men of God, these prophets, they spoke about what was going to happen because God had told them. It wasn't man coming along and trying to make some prediction. This was a prophecy. God had told them what was going to happen. God, not man. And in the Old Testament, there was a test that was given. And God said, you know what, if someone comes along and says, I'm a prophet and I'm going to tell you what's going to happen in 10 years' time, and another prophet comes along and says something else is going to happen in 10 years' time, well, you may be somewhat confused. How on earth were you to know which was the true prophet? God says, if I bring it to pass, if I make it happen, that's my prophet. And so God really proves himself to people. He says, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen in the future. I'm going to tell people, and you're going to be able to test it. See if I'm right. And he's going to make prophecies, as we're going to see, which were beyond the lifetime of the people that gave them. Some of these prophecies are thousands of years given before the events actually happened. Not predictions, prophecy. So then our first case study, if you will. And we're going to start with the nation of Israel. And the reason for that is because in Isaiah 43, God says, if you really wanted proof about me, well, look at the people of Israel. And he says, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, he that made thee, O Israel, fear not, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. And he says, you are my witnesses. You are testament that I exist. I have declared and have saved and have showed there were, when there was no strange God among you, therefore ye are my witnesses that I am God. How many of you have heard the nation of Israel? Heard of Israel? That proves, according to Isaiah, that God exists. In case we had any doubt, God says, I'm going to make Israel my witness. So let's look at some prophecies concerning Israel. And we're not going to turn these up, but you're more than welcome. Please do challenge or explore the slides to see if they stand up with the scriptures. Am I saying the truth? Please check it out. Here are some prophecies concerning Israel that have already happened. And we're going to start in Leviticus 26, and God says, I'm never going to allow my nation to be completely eradicated. And if you think about it, the Jews, the people of Israel, are still in existence. And that is despite the fact that these nations have all come and challenged them at some point. Mighty empires of their day. Babylon, Tyre, Nineveh, Syria, Assyria, Persia, Egypt, Edom, Moab, Philistia, the Amalekites, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. That's just the Old Testament. I couldn't add them all in. In World War II, Germany, Italy, Japan. Now, Iran. They've all vowed to eradicate Israel, and they still exist because God says, you're my witnesses. Fulfilled, don't you think? God said in Jeremiah 25 that they're going to be taken captive for 70 years. It happened. Jeremiah 32, they would survive the Assyrian captivity and go back home to Israel. It happened. In Daniel chapter 9, there's a very famous prophecy that Herod's temple in Jerusalem at AD 70 would be destroyed. It happened. Israel would become a wasteland. It happened. Ploughed like a field. The Jews would be scattered among the nations. And think about it. From Jeremiah 25 all the way down to Luke 21, we find that the Jews are in every nation upon the face of the earth. So all the rest happened to get to that point. I mean, God says in Isaiah 49, I'm never going to forget my people. And why would he if they are his witnesses? Prophecy fulfilled. And some of these prophecies were given hundreds, if not thousands of years that these things would happen. And I just want you to notice there's one particular nation of Tyre. I'm going to look at them for our second little case study. And this is where we're going to look at our reading just briefly to whet our appetite. And what I've taken, there are lots and lots and lots of details which are supported in Ezekiel 26 that are supported with evidence outside of the Bible. So we can turn to what we would call secular history or even contemporary history that's happened now to prove things. And what we find really is God says, for context, God says there was this mighty Phoenician city called Tyre. And I'll show you a map shortly to help picture where this was. It was very heavily defended. It was incredibly wealthy, and it was, of its day and time, a great force to be reckoned with. Highly successful. And God says in Ezekiel 26, it says, you have risen up against my people, against Jerusalem, and I am going to destroy you. And this prophecy is given about 200 or 300 years before it actually happened. And there are some interesting details. To summarise, in verses 5 to 7, God says about 200 or 300 years before it happened that there's someone going to be called Nebuchadnezzar. He wasn't even born yet. And he's going to come and he's going to besiege Tyre. He's going to camp around it on the mainland. And then he's going to break the walls and come in and kill the people. But that's not going to finish. There's going to be another nation or other nations that are going to come along and they're going to destroy the city and then they're going to take the stones and the timber and the dust, and they're going to chuck it all into the sea. Now, why on earth would they do that? Well, this is what happened. The Babylonians came along, didn't they? Oh, of course they did. They were prophesied to come along. Here come the Babylonians. And here's a German historian writing in 1926. And by the way, I don't read German. Fortunately, there's an English translation. But if you want to go and check it out, please do. It's widely available. And he says, Mr. Unger, he says, five cuneiform tablets, they are pieces of pottery, really, have been found from 569 to 563 BC, and they show that Tyre wasn't under the control of the Phoenicians. It was in the hands of Nebuchadnezzar after 570 BC. And there's another broken tablet which hasn't got a date, and it refers to the king and his soldiers for their march against Tyre. So there's broken bits of pottery that have been discovered by a German archaeologist that talk about Tyre being in the hands of Nebuchadnezzar. And he says this broken pottery is likely reference to the siege during which the Babylonians sent supplies to their troops besieging the Phoenician city. Okay, so that's archaeological evidence about Babylon coming against Tyre. There's a very well-known Jewish historian called Flavius Josephus, and he says, I will now add the records of the Phoenicians. He's a historian, and he's writing an extract. And he says, I'm now going to insert something from the Phoenicians. It will not be superfluous to give the reader demonstrations more than enough on this occasion. Basically, he says, the more evidence, the better. In them, we have this statement. The Phoenicians say, Nebuchadnezzar, that's how they called him. They didn't call him Nebuchadnezzar, they called him Nebuchadnezzar, besieged Tyre for 13 years in the days of Ithabal. And that was the king of Tyre at the time. They wrote about this. And they say in their own annals of history, there was a man came along who besieged us. I just wonder, by the way, I was a historian, whether this was written for to be rude about the attacking monarch. Perhaps, I know what it is. And then Flavius Josephus continues, in the seventh year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, he began to besiege Tyre. The records of the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, and the Tyrians agree. And the testimonies here produced are an indisputable, undeniable attestation to the antiquity of our Israel's nation. It happened, says the archaeological evidence, and according to a historian of the day. So then what about the other nations? Well, the other nations, along come the Greeks. And there's Mr. Mariner. He is a rather smart chap. He works for this aptly named European Centre for Research and Teaching on the Geosciences and the Environment. Thank goodness for acronyms. And he says, in 332 BC, Alexander's engineers used timber and the ruins of the old city of Tyre on the coast to build a causeway, a mole, to the island. You see, Tyre was built on the coast. There was a city of the Tyre on the coast, but there was also an island where Tyre could retreat to if they got attacked. So when they got attacked by Nebuchadnezzar, they left and went to the island. Along comes Alexander the Great. 1 kilometre from the shore, he sees Tyre, safe in strong walls. And he says, this Mr. Nick Mariner, he says, that people believed that this happened, but they relied on ancient texts and illustrations. There was no hard data. People believe this is what happened because it was written down by the works of the Bible and Josephus. So he goes along and he tries to provide some hard data to sort of disprove it. He doesn't really like the fact that this has happened. He wants hard data. He was a bit of a skeptic. So he goes and does a study with some of his PhD students. And his studies, I'll give you the article later. Here we are. It's under here. There we are. Go look at it there. He drills down into the area where this causeway was supposedly built. And they drilled down quite a depth. And they look at the sediment, what the sediment is, and they can work out how quickly it was layered, what it was, what it was made of. And they find that Alexander's engineers had used timber and ruins from the old Tyre, and they'd used it to build this causeway. It was proven in the sediment. But he says there was a natural causeway there first place. There was a 2-metre sandbank that they used to help them. And really, he says, they sort of cheated. They did do that. They did put the wood in and the timber from the old Tyre to get across to attack the city and the island. But a bit of a cheat. Well, not really. Bible students would expect to say, here, I've just done the wrong button. It's a new boy. There was a natural causeway that had started to grow faster some time before Alexander arrived. It's almost as if the angels are preparing the sand and the sediment, build it up, and along comes Alexander and chucks in the rocks and the timber, and they can go attack the city. Here's a picture, here's a map. So there's a picture. What does Ezekiel 26 say? Well, not quite on. It says it would cast the timber and the stones and the dust into the water. Along comes Nick, 21st century. 2,000 years later, even more than that, 2,500 years later, Alexander's engineers used timber. I keep pressing the wrong button. So here we are. So here was, this is the old city of Tyre down here. That's what Nebuchadnezzar attacked by the Babylonians. And then they retreated to this island. And along comes Alexander the Great, and he builds this causeway, and he attacks and he conquers the city. Just as Ezekiel had prophesied in Ezekiel 26. So what about a third? The Lord Jesus Christ. Again, this is going to be fairly brief. In terms of his birth, a number of things were prophesied before it even happened. Some of these are thousands of years. We're told that he was going to be born in Bethlehem. Where was Jesus born? Bethlehem. We're told in Genesis 49 he was going to come from one of the 12 tribes of Israel, from Judah. How do they know that? Because it was God's prophecy. What about his life? A number of things are prophesied about the life of the Lord Jesus. One of them is in Isaiah 35, he's going to perform great miracles. He's going to heal the blind, the lame are going to walk again. Deuteronomy 18 says that Jesus is going to be like a prophet, like Moses. In John 1, people come up to Jesus and say, "Are you that prophet? Or should we look for another?" He was the prophet, prophesied in Deuteronomy's day, the book of Deuteronomy. He was prophesied he'd enter Jerusalem on a donkey and that he would be rejected. He was also prophesied that he would die. Betrayed by a close friend for 30 pieces of silver. And that he would be pierced. What happened when Jesus was on the cross? A Roman soldier pierced him with a spear. It was prophesied in Zechariah chapter 12 that was going to happen. How on earth could the prophet Zechariah know what was going to happen beyond when he was dead? You can make a guess, but you couldn't guess all these things and be accurate, surely. But also there's a prophecy that Jesus would rise from the dead. The third day. And then we're told in Matthew 28 that the gospel would be spread to all nations. Do you know the most prolifically sold book in the entire world is the Bible, in which it contains the gospel message. And Matthew 28 said it's going to go everywhere. Prophecy fulfilled 2,000 years later. So if that's the case, what else then is to be fulfilled? If we can turn back time and say, look back in time and say, well, there were prophecies made and they all happened because they could be tested, what remains? Some wonderful things, my friends. Wonderful things await. And in short, the Lord Jesus is going to come back. He's going to restore the kingdom to Israel. Israel are God's witnesses. They are never going to be destroyed. He's going to come back as king. He's going to reign for 1,000 years over a kingdom, not just of Israel, but of all the world. And then disobedience and death is finally going to be eradicated. That is prophesied. Let me ask you a question. In light of God's track record, how likely do you think it is that that's going to happen? So there's some conclusions to make. This is what we've seen so far. God says, I'm going to tell you about the future before it even happens. And I'm going to be so precise that when it comes along, you can test it. That proves I exist. We've learnt that there are reliable plans, testable methods. And then he says, there are still things I've told you about the future which haven't yet happened. How ready are you? And this is perhaps the point of it all. Jesus is going to come back. And that's regardless of whether you or I are ready for it. If you're not ready, it doesn't mean he's not going to come back. It just means you're not ready. And the same for me. Those who are righteous, those who have tried to do what the Bible tells them to do, and are baptized, they are going to be saved. Those who couldn't care less or have ignored it will be rejected. That's a prophecy. That's what's going to happen. And the thing is, we are actually making a choice right now. Even if you say, I might decide later, you are making a decision to not. So the question really is, if you believe the Bible talks about prophecy and that the future is what's going to happen, we have to make a choice. The question really is, what are you going to do?